for some things that I think might be very worthwhile and add value. By way of introduction, this is theoptionprofessor.com speaking. And quick background on myself, I'm a graduate of Boston College and went to some graduate school over at UCLA and been in the investment arena for decades upon decades. I've done option seminars, learning about all the different uses of options and the risks of options across the nation. And we probably have done many hundreds throughout the country. And we've educated tens upon thousands of people on how these options work and things like that. This is not going to be just on an option meeting. At the end of the broadcast, if you'd like more information on optionprofessor.com, you simply go to the website. I'll instruct you accordingly. But today, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on all the different platforms that you have available. And at this point of the day, you must be familiar with most of them. So rather than going on and on about the platforms that are available, because obviously, you know, many of them are similar and of course, you can personalize them. The main firms that we work with are Vanguard, Fidelity, and Schwab, obviously very large outfits, and they have obviously very sophisticated platforms as well. But when you get to the platform, there are things you want to use as indicators to give you an idea on what your best guess might be and how you might control the risk a little bit, either using stop losses or trimming or strategies and options. So again, I'm going to be going over my opinion and my observations, and I hope I'll be sharing with you a lot of different markets that I'm watching, and we'll take it one step at a time. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay, so on the screen here, you got the S&P 500, and you'll see some indicators that I'm looking at. Now, there's three moving averages on your screen. The three that I like to follow are the 15 SMA, the 30, and the 45, and I like to use the RSI at 14. Now, I'm going to show you right from the bat that where we go, we have a tremendously large amount of technical indicators available. You know, Bollinger Bands, look at all the ones we've got there. You've got different types of moving averages. You've got parabolic time price, trend spotter, keep going down. You know, these are all the things that are available when we're analyzing. You've got average directional index, Bollinger width. You've got the Chaikin oscillator, a commitment of traders desegregated. And then you've got the commitment of traders, commodity channel index. You've got stochastics there, momentum. I mean, you could obviously drown in the information that's available to you. And I'm sure when you go to these websites and their platforms, you get exactly what I'm talking about. So we try to pick some that we think we can, you know, trust, and that we don't drown in information where we don't know what to do, because the information probably will never coincide at the same time. So on the moving average front, these are the three that we're looking at here. And then, of course, you'll see the RSI, and we get an idea of the flow of money through the moving averages, and we get the idea of the relative strength of the market. Our feeling is when you're in a bull market, you're going to see the RSI generally be above 50, and when you're in a downtrending market, sometimes it can be under 50. So that 50 number plus or minus is pretty good. If you go into the red numbers or down by zero, you got extremely oversold, and of course, if you get 80 or better on the RSI, you're overbought. But let's get an idea here on the S&P, and I'll show you. We analyze it using different time frames, okay? So let's go out to 20 years on the S&P, see what the big picture looks like. And the big picture is very clearly up. Now, this goes back all the way to 2002, right? And you can ride the red and the green line pretty much throughout the whole trend between, what, 2004 and 2007. And then, of course, you get the break in the action right before 2008 hits. And you certainly are warned that the temperature is going down well before you get into the crash. So if you don't respect the technicals and you hang around after they change tune, you know, you can get into a big nasty drop, particularly if you get events like, you know, banks going under almost, or the debt crisis or whatever, housing crisis. But you can see once it jumped above the red line there, it stayed up there pretty well, stayed above the green line there. So you got a pretty decent buy signal around 1,000 on the S&P. And on the long-term charts, you know, you got violated here during that big drop in December 2018, but it didn't last, never closed underneath it. And here, you know, you got that big drop underneath. But if the direction of the moving average is up and the Fed shows up, it's a reasonable bet to do nothing and see what happens a month or so afterwards. Obviously, that month it went down to 2174. That's a line in the sand. The next month it never went down there. So there's your stop right there. And then it got back above the blue line and it's been up, up and away ever since on the S&P. The problem right now is, you know, you are a little bit extended from the moving averages on a long-term basis. And when that occurs, sometimes you get pullback. Also, this high high point here on the S&P. The RSI was up at 87. And then we got a new high in the S&P, but the RSI went down to 77. And then we got a new high over here on the S&P, but the RSI is at 68. And then we got another big new high right there, and the RSI is still only at 63. So what do you got going? You've got higher levels, but a descending RSI, and that's called a divergence. And sometimes when you get a divergence, you get a very big pullback to the mean. And I'm not saying it's going to do that, but I certainly would not be shocked if it did, because, you know, what would make it go from 3,400 down here to a 2,800 number, or even a $3,000 number? What would happen is that the 142,000 cases that are going on with COVID continues at a very brisk pace. The hospitalizations increase, which they're going nuts at about 65,000, and that the deaths numbers start jumping, which would be far and away against what people are factoring in. Most people are factoring in that we could get a jump in cases, but hospitalization should be better and the deaths should be way down. So if that's the way it plays out, then the cases are not as threatening as they are if the hospitalizations and the deaths really start spiking. If they did, this market is not prepared for that. They're not prepared for lockdowns, and they're not prepared for, you know, serious problems at the hospitals again. So again, all these people that are bullish, 3,600, 3,800, the VIX is going to get under 20 and it's going to scream through the roof. Those are all very rosy outlooks. Unfortunately, we're way up here and a lot of people have already bet that way. So if in fact the VIX doesn't get under 20 and starts breaking above 25 and 30 again, and the news turns south and the stimulus package is put off till way into next year, and you're looking at President Trump won't leave home without it, then you've got a recipe for a sell-off. And there's plenty of people to sell off. I know everybody talks about the sideline cash. Well, the reason the cash is on the sideline is, you know, it's not interested in taking a lot of risk. And when you have a VIX that's above 20, 25, you know, people with a lot of money to put into markets, they know that the risk is still high, or else the VIX wouldn't be so high, right? So the bottom line is that extendedly high VIX above 20, it has scared off a lot of the sideline money. And I don't think the VIX going to 35 or 40 on a drop is going to make that sideline money any more interested. So again, right now you can't fight the tape. Let's bring in the zoom a little bit towards the five-year chart. On the five-year chart, you can see the blue line comes in more like what number? Comes in more like 30, 31, 42. Okay. So that could be a possibility on a drop. Because why? Because it may take out these two lows to run everybody out of the market, come down to the blue line like it did here a couple of times, and then take off from there. So that would be a neighborhood that would be interesting to look for buy signs around 31.50. And then, of course, what's the RSI doing on the 5-year? It's still above 50. And again, what did I tell you? As long as we're above 50, you got to figure that the uptrend is intact. You see, once it got under 50 here in January, and then you really got a big drop. When it got under 50 in October of 2018, then you got a big drop. So you don't want this RSI breaking under 50. That would put a big warning flag on things. So basically, that's what the story is on the 5-year. Let's bring it into the 1-year. On the 1-year, you know, that spike up that we saw Monday, doesn't it look a little bit of a blow off top? I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's going to go right back up there. But, you know, that does look like the needle up in Seattle, you know, the needle sticking up and all these lows underneath it. So if it can't get back above these highs right here at about 35.74 soon, then obviously if it starts taking out the low here, which is 35.06, that opens up the door for that correction we're talking about. How's the RSI shaping up now? It did go negative at the end of October and in September. So during the big drops we saw, right, in September, October, they did take it underneath. Now, again, it's not impossible that by the end of the month, we could have another drop. Doesn't have to happen, but if it does, it might be possible for this 50 get back underneath this number where it is now, underneath 50 again. So again, that's what it looks like on a 1-year basis. Now we pull it into 6 months. 6 months, again, a little extended from the high point, rolling over a bit on the RSI, but still comfortably above it at 61. But there your support comes in at 3,400, which is these highs as well, which is a reasonable number, and 3,450. So if we're going to get a spike down, that'll be the neighborhood where it might go to initially. It starts taking out the 3,574, then maybe this thing will get taken out. But again, if we look at divergence, do we have a divergence here? Well, when we got this high over here in October, well, the September high right here, RSI was up at 83. Then we got the October high, RSI is at 66. Then we just got this big new high, and the RSI is at 63. So we got this thing up here with a very low RSI. That's not good. So again, keep an eye on things here. And for you short-term traders, let's see what it looks like on a one-month basis and a five-day. Yeah, looks like it's breaking down a little bit on the 1 month. And where's the RSI? Yeah, it's under 50. So got to be careful here. Under 35.06, which is the low right there, you're probably going to have some trouble. And then on a 5 day, is it turned around this week? Yeah, it broke a little bit this week. Now it's coming back up a little bit. Where's the RSI on the 5 day? Yeah, it's under 50. So if this thing can't get above 35.50, 35.60 by Friday, which tomorrow is, and it starts going the other way, you know, then you could see this RSI start tailing off a little bit more. But the way this thing is set up right now, getting above 35.50 is kind of important. That's the high on the, all the moving averages are converging there. Can you see that? This is on only on a 5 day short term chart. But, you know, and your RSI is at 47. So if this thing is very weak tomorrow and Monday, then this thing could start unwinding a little bit. Conversely, like I say, you got to go with the flow, especially on a short term basis. If you're short trading short term, 35.60, 35.70 would be above all these averages that are there now. And it could turn that RSI through 50. And so I would not be afraid to flip around if, in fact, it started to take out those numbers. Okay, so that gives you a little idea on the S&P. Let's give you a little idea on the Qs. And I'm going to start way back with the long-term chart and then bring it back in. Hang on a second here. I didn't want the South African Rand. I wanted the QQQs, NASDAQ. There you go. Although the Rand looks like it's ready to drop. Okay, so take a look here at the NASDAQ. You're at 288. Let's go look at the graph. We'll go back 20 years and get a little wide angle here. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the poster child of overbought, isn't it? I mean, you're at 300 on that and the averages are all down here. So obviously it's overbought. And the high point here has been 303. So that's your line in the sand. Couldn't get above it there, there, or there. So until it does, 303 is the bit as the high. And if you get under 260, that would open the door for these averages to possibly get hit. 227, 202, and 187. Likelihood of going all the way to the blue line is probably not that great unless we get the tide to turn badly on the virus, the stimulus, and Trump, which are all very wild cards, aren't they? Wild cards. Okay, so let's talk about the five-year bull market. But again, we did penetrate the red line for the first time since it was down here at 210. And the RSI certainly is not confirming the highs, right? Because you got lower RSIs. You know, that's always concerning because the RSIs diverging is an indication of short covering. It's an indication of the volume driving up. The advanced decline line might be in question. And so basically, you got to respect that. So, where are we at today? 280? 288. Yeah, where's your line in the sand here? Well, 280 should hold if it's going to be good, and certainly 270. If they don't hold, then a more sharper decline might come into play. The two biggest high points are the last year's highs around 190 or so, and then this year's high was 240. You know, some people think stocks, can't come down. So I'm going to put a chart up on one that kind of has a lot of people with their mouths open, gasping for air, and this is Alibaba. Now, 2 weeks ago, Alibaba was flying high. How high? Let's see. How does 320 sound? That's pretty high. And why was it going so high? Because obviously they're a great company and they had this company called Ant going public. And Ant is a monster, supposedly combining Amazon with PayPal, doing the buying or whatever, and also the processing. Plus, this thing's got Alipay, right? So anyway, you're looking at something that look great. And then what happens? China government comes in, starts looking at regulations, start looking at kind of cutting the wings a little bit on these things. The guy who runs Alibaba, who is a guy who used to work at Goldman Sachs, he says all he wants is transparency on the regulations, regulatory transparency, meaning he doesn't want to be working and then come to the door one day and they got new regulations, they just came in, or they're enforcing regulations that they weren't aware of. That's what he's talking about, I think. So bottom line is everybody left town. And this thing went from 320 down to 260 here very, very quickly. My big number here is 240 area, because that's where the blue line comes in. And that's where this high is. So will we get that cheap? Who knows? But I think 260 is your first place to take a shot. And then 240 would be your second place. So if you don't own any of this thing, 260 and 240 neighborhoods would be the neighborhoods to take a little bite. If you own it, then obviously you're getting caught in a thunderstorm. You got to get a raincoat and a good book and you got to wait it out. But that's an example why people think that these things can't come down. And they do come down because things generally revert back to the mean at some point. I'll give you another example of that. And that's our buddies over at Zoom, which had a great day today, I think, or they did. let's see how they went home. Yeah, nice bounce back. But again, I don't know why my averages aren't up there, but they took them away, so I'll have to go back for that. Anyway, you're looking, oh, of course, they don't have a 20-year history on Zoom. That's why they don't have a chart on it, probably. Let's see if they give me one with a six-month graph. All right, let's go back here quickly so I can regain my my moving averages. Go back to Alibaba. There you go. And let's say I go to 6 months and put Zoom in there then. For some reason, I guess because the data wasn't there, they took away my technicals. Okay, so here's Zoom. Okay, there you go with the lines. So as you can see, when the thing's up at 580 and the averages are down at 460, people are saying there's no way it's going down to 460. Well, not only did it do that, it went all the way down to 360. Now, why would it have stopped at 360? Because you've got some lows in here. You've got some lows in there that it's bouncing off of. This so far, this gap has held up pretty good. So that comes in at 340. So in this neighborhood here of 380. So 380, 340 is the support zone. And you got oversold a bit, right? But it is under 50 on the RSI. And so, you know, you got to be a little worried. So after it has a rally, you'd have to see how it does between 460 and 500. See what it does in that neighborhood. Because at 480, it fills the gap. 500 area is the former high. So let's see how that neighborhood works out. If it goes into that neighborhood and starts rolling over, it might be telling you that the RSI is telling you that it's in for some longer days ahead. Again, the valuation on this thing is enormous. You've got Microsoft having another and Google getting involved in this business of video communications. So competition can strike into your margins. And of course, a company trading at this valuation can't have a lot of that news. So anyway, you know, first got your sell signal at 520 right there when it broke the red line. Second signal came in at 500. So there was a reason to be out or short. What you can do here option-wise, for you guys who don't understand that, is you can hedge yourself. What does that mean? Once this thing stopped making new highs and came back down, when it popped back up to 560, you could have said, you know what? I'm going to say 600 is going to be the high for a while. Let's sell the 600 calls, which were probably enormously large, and then take that premium of 600 premium and buy a put at 520 with the money you brought in from the 600 calls. Now you've got parameters. You can make up to 600 and your risk is cut off at 520 because you've got the put there until they expire. So that's called putting parameters around your equity, which is not a bad thing to do, particularly if you bought this thing at 200 and you had a three bagger. A three bagger is worth protecting, right? How do you protect it? I just showed you one way. It's called a collar strategy. Other way could be you sell out of the stock here and you buy some call spreads that keeps you in there with a position, but it reduces your risk to whatever the call spreads cost, and the rest of the money is in your pocket. Other thing you could do is trim. If you own 1,000 shares, you cut out 200 or 300 up here and let the rest ride. One thing people like to do is if they buy something for 200 and it goes to 400, sell out a half, take all your money off the table. Now you got a free look at Zoom the rest of the time you own it. And there's other ways to do it, married puts, etc. If you have any more questions on that, you know, I'm more than happy to give you a hand on the mechanics of that stuff. Then you can go to your brokerage firm and see what's suitable for you. But optionprofessor@gmail.com. Send all your questions there. optionprofessor@gmail.com. All right. So there you get an idea of a couple of the hot ones. Some of them made the new highs today, which I thought was in line with the way the world's working because we're getting ready for this 5G revolution. Let's take a look at the 5G revolution one. T-Mobile, I think it made an all-time high today just by a little bit. Let's see what the RSI did. Man, RSI is not bad. Yeah, that's RSI is not too bad. So there's no big divergence there. It is getting overbought a little bit. You know, 114 is where all the averages are. I think trading 128. If you look at a long-term graph at 5 years, let's take a look. But T-Mobile definitely is a popular way to play this thing. And again, so it's, you know, it's up here, but it's in the ozone, you know, certainly. And you've got it 100, and this is on a five-year basis. Even on a one-year basis, I'm sure the averages are pretty well underneath it. Yeah. So, you know, but the RSI is not way up there yet. But again, you know, it's a little bit overbought, but because we're going into this holiday season and we're going to be going into, 5G and all that, I'll give you some other 5G things that we've been focused on for a long time. One would be Qualcomm, which has been a very good friend to us. Let's see how it's doing today. This company announced some great earnings and great guidance. Can't do better than that. And here you go. Down a little bit today, but that's because it had a big jump. You know, this thing told you to get in here at 80 and 75. Come on. This is no new phenomenon. That's called a nice trend line. What I like to moving averages, because it smooths out the rough edges. You're not making decisions every 5 minutes. You're saying as long as it stays above here, which is down here, the number was keep above 75. And then when it's up here, you want it to stay pretty much above 85. And then up here, you want it to stay pretty much above 105. And then up here, you'd like it to stay above 120. And right now it's at about 125. So if we pull back, you'd certainly like to, if it closes the gap, that would be an interesting place to think if you want to buy something, 130, right? Sometimes it comes back to the breakout point, like it did kind of here, pulled back to the breakout area here, and then took off. Breakout area here is either going to be 130, 135 ballpark, or the moving average. So anywhere between, I would say, 130, 135, or down here, 120, 125 would be a couple of good places to look at this thing. Take a look at another one, which is Broadcom. And with Broadcom, what do you got? You've got pullback, and this is not as robust as, like I say, Qualcomm would be the one that seems to be the one that's doing best with the 5G. They're over there in China as well, so they got deals going on over there. With regards to, we're going into the holiday season. A lot of people like to take a look at some of these companies that are going to try to make a lot of money, like Costco. So let's go through these retailers who might do well during the holiday season, or retailers in general. There you go. So Costco came down, tested the line. That's where you should have been buying it. And if you did at 360, you're already $15 to the good. How's your RSI looking? Looking fine. Trading at only 55. Plenty of room on the upside. Costco. Another one would be Target. Target's really got better with the digital. And Target is telling you, what is it telling you? Not down too much today. Yeah, there you go. Tested the, went through the line for just a little bit, came back above it. Now you're above it again. So 155 would be a nice line in the sand, and getting above 165 would take you off. But it's, if it can get going, this is a neighborhood where it could get going from. And the RSI is right there. So if this thing starts turning down underneath 150, something's bad happening at Target, because the RSI would then be turning down. And if you take out 150, there's a reason at doing that. And that's not a good sign. Costco certainly looks better than Target technically. How about Walmart? And I don't think Target really can swim with the Walmarts and the Costcos and the Amazons yet anyway. I think people, they did a good job. There's no doubt. They've done a good job, and congratulate them on that. Their P/E ratio was quite low. That's not that low anymore. And I don't think they're quite the other retailers that we just mentioned. Okay, so where are you here with Walmart? You are looking a lot better, more like Costco, right? Getting above this number here, just peaked underneath it a minute. So you certainly would like it to stay above where we are here, which is 141. So keep this baby above 140 and see if it can matriculate up. Been a nice, fairly good trend. Got a little dodgy here in June, but since June, it's been riding the uptrend all the way up. RSI has been good all the way up as well. Now it's in the 50 area. Let's see where it is. 63. So there's room to go. So if you are looking at the retail season, that's another one. And Amazon, of course, is the monster. And I helped them today by buying something online, some plumbing equipment, plumbing material I needed. Okay, 3114. Again, this one looks a little more dodgy from the standpoint of the technicals, but it's the kind of stock that can just pop up out of the blue. As you can see, it goes from 3,000 to 3,500 out of the blue a little bit. But it did give you a sign because it was above the red line. I'd like to see this thing trade above 3,200 before I got any more excited. Can you see all those 1-year moving averages are right in there? So I don't know if antitrust over in Europe is going to hurt these guys or what, but if you see this thing starting to take out 3,000, where's the RSI? Yeah, if this thing starts taking out 3,000, I don't know if I want to be an Amazon. The stories might turn south on them from the standpoint of what? Regulatory action in Europe or something else. And again, this is a high valuation. It can't take a lot of bad news. So, again, had a nice ride in it. Went up there. A big divergence here on the RSI from here to here. The divergence is 72 versus this recent high at about 56. That's a pretty big divergence. And it's under 50 right now at 46. So last thing you want to hear is they're trading underneath 3,000. That would make me want to not be involved in it. I want to be involved in things if we can when they're going up, not when they're going sideways and ready to go down. So again, be careful on Amazon unless it gets above that 3,200 number. All right. Another retailer or store that seems to be doing very good is Dollar General. Steady, steady, steady. Let's take a look. Yeah. So it's against this blue line here. So it's very, you keep your stop pretty tight on this one if you're trading it. You certainly don't want to take out that 211 area, and that aren't things only at 213. If you want to wait for some momentum, wait for the thing to start taking out 216, 217, and then maybe put your stop underneath 210 if it can do that. RSI, though, is right there at 50. You know, like I say, a lot of things are right on the ledge here. Why would they be right on the ledge? I mean, you know, they got guys talking about the VIX getting under 20, and then everyone's going to feel good and plow in. That could happen. But the other thing that could happen is the VIX never goes underneath 20, and it starts taking off the other way, and these markets have a correction. And again, why would it have a correction? You know, certainly they're not running into money market because there's nothing to be earned there. Bond market is paying a little bit more, 1% about on the 10-year, about 1.75% on the 30-year. Nothing great, but certainly better than losing a lot of money, because if we go to another lockdown because the virus gets out of hand, I mean, the cases are off the charts. 142,000 is like, what, three times what they were in March and April? That sounds like a lot. Now, the hospitalizations have jumped up pretty good, but the deaths seem to be kind of moderating. And people are tired, so, you know, maybe they are going to let their guard down. But if the states start talking lockdown, that's not going to be good for the markets in many cases, and especially these ones that have gone through the roof, where you've got a lot of people with profits. And then, of course, you know, if Biden is going to change the capital gains tax, you know, when would you want to take a big gain? At 20% capital gains tax or 25 or 30? So bottom line is there's a lot of factors out there. There's always two sides to the pancake, right? Always two sides to the pancake. The bull case is there's no place to make money but stocks. The interest rates are still low. Stimulus is coming. Vaccines are coming. A reloading of the economy is coming. Goldman Sachs is looking for 4,300 by the end of next year. You know, it's all green lights and blue skies. And of course, people are in the market. How do you think it got up that high? So if the tune changes, you know how order imbalances work. We saw it the other day when everyone is selling or everyone is buying on Monday. You know, obviously they raise the offer as high as they can, get all that volume in, give it to you at the highest price possible, and then it falls under its own weight, which is what's happened the rest of the week here. Conversely, if this thing starts breaking down with the RSI breaking down and these technical pictures breaking down, there's going to be a heck of a lot of selling. And who do you think is going to be buying? Nobody. So, you know, that's why they drop the offer down to as low as possible. Then they take in all the volume and they hope there's no volume behind it. Many times there's not. That's why they see bounces. You know, when this thing was dropping from here to here, there's probably a ton of volume, right? And then bottom line is they can see after that, you got a technical picture here of 205 and look at that bounce right back up. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But some of these things are definitely on the ledge, particularly in the retail sector. A couple of other cheapy ones that people think are going to do better. This is obviously another reopening trade, Disney. And, you know, they're parks, you know, how much money they make out of the parks? A lot. If the parks could get open, would that be helpful? Look what happened when they heard the parks might be open right there. What they don't tell you is that the vaccines and stuff might not be available to the second half of the year and how much they're going to be available. And the trials only had 4,000 people in it. So for every plus, there's a minus on some of these things. Clearly, the market feels like it got a little ahead of itself, but I would not think that this is not going to be a good company once things turn around. So on Disney, let's look at a long-term graph and see what it looks like there. Might give you some insight on where's a good spot to get on. Yeah, so there you go. Came down here to the 120 area. That's what place you're supposed to be getting in at. That's your line in the sand. So if it pulls back, your three numbers to look at on Disney would be 125, 123, and 117. So there's three areas where it may stop if, in fact, it does pull back. Longer term, though, the economy opens up. People back in the Disney parks. Plus, they've got all that stuff with the streaming, and they've got all that content they've got, of course, and they've got a lot of different ways to make money. I think they own ESPN, do they? And with DraftKings and Penn Gaming and all those doing so well, there could be a value to that ESPN. You know, some of the other things for Christmas time, since we're coming up to that, what about Nike? Let's take a look. 126. Yeah, again, very, very overbought short term here, so it's hard to say it's a great time to get in, since obviously 60 and 70 and 90 and 100 were obviously the better places to get in. And let's look at it on a 6-month basis and see if there's a place to keep the stop in there a little tighter. Yeah, so there you go. You see it's testing it right now on a 6-month basis, 125. And certainly you don't want it breaking under 120. So those are your two lines in the sand there. What's the RSI doing? Right at 50. See, everything's on the ledge. This thing could turn either way. And everyone's betting it's going to turn up. So, you know, use your common sense. If where's the market go sometimes? In the direction to hurt the most people. How much money's on the sideline? Trillions of dollars. So what's going to hurt them the most? Obviously, the price is rising because they don't own it, right? So when everybody gets into something, the way the market hurts the most people is obviously to go the other way. With regards to Cisco, if things get more normalized, this is something that's supposed to be coming back. Let's see what it looks like technically. And Cisco looks like, might have something going. You know, as long as it stays above 38, like to get those moving averages turning up. The RSI is above 50, but it certainly could use some legs. So this thing gets above these recent highs. Where is it trading now? 38, 67? Yeah. Close above 40 would be great, because then your RSI would be pointing up, and then these averages could converge and cross. So maintaining above 35 to 40 is really what you need to see, or 37 to 40. Maintaining this would be a key, but this thing's got a big gap here that looks like it might want to get filled at some point. I'll show you another one that looks like it might be a value if you can have a longer term view. This is Wells Fargo. They're cutting staff. They are cutting costs. They are really trying to get something going. This one here, it has a low here with an RSI in around 34. You got lows over here. You got a low here with the RSI more like 39. So basically, the RSI has been rising while the market was dropping. That's not a bad sign. But clearly, I'll show you the longer term graph so you get the idea why there could be something here. Obviously, they got in a lot of trouble and they can't bring in as many deposits, but that's going to change. And when they start making announcements of change, they're going to be able to maybe do something here. This thing's got moving averages way up there at 47. This thing is trading at 23. The lowest it's been at is like 21. This thing, during the crash of 08, the thing, after that little bit of time, this thing was trading at 25, right after the crash of 08. So this thing is definitely sold out. If you're the type who likes to look for some kind of a value, what you'd want to do is see the longer it can stay above 21. And if it can start breaking above some of these levels, I think 26 is a big number. Let me double check. This is the 1 year graph. Yeah. You get above 26 here, right? And that would open up the door, I think. So if you're a momentum player, you probably want to see 26 or better and then jump on a train that might be going somewhere. And there's gaps to be filled up here at 38, gap over here at around 36. So if they start announcing something and this thing is trading 26 or better, I think a pop in this thing is more than a bit possible. And the sector's done better lately, the financials. So, and a steepening yield curve definitely helps these people as well. So that would be something else if you're looking for things that are out of favor that could maybe get going a little bit. Another one that's out of favor that we've been friendly to for a while is oil. And let's take a look at what that looks like. This is an ETF, and these ETFs pay like 5% or better. And it looks like it's trying to get going a little bit here. RSI is above 50. It broke. The time to get in was right around 40, and it's 10% up or better since that happened. The best of breeds to us seems like Chevron. We thought under 70 was a steal because it's paying 7% dividend. That's 7% they pay you while you're waiting. Could they cut the dividend? Of course. Are they going to? They certainly haven't yet. And Chevron went from like 68 to 80. Yeah. See this? The RSI gets above 70 here. Boom. You went right to 85. Now it's at 80. But the bottom line is if these are the lows, right, then you can sit tight and let it do back and forth action because they're paying you a nice healthy dividend while you're watching the movie. Are we going back to all electric cars? I don't think so. Is Biden going to abolish the oil industry like the nonsense that was being sold? Of course he's not. And are all those cars on the highway going to need gasoline? Yes, they are. Where are they going to get the oil from? The rigs? Well, they closed down a lot of rigs. So once they're closed down, you can forget about supply out of them. And then what about fracking? The fracking business is out of favor because there's no economics. So you got those supply things off the table. And OPEC is agreeing that demand is slowing down because of the COVID. So obviously they're matching their supplies with the decreased demand. What they're not doing is meeting the demand that could be happening next year if we get out of this thing and start normalizing our behavior, because people are dying to go places and do things. And they're going to have money to do it because they haven't been spending it much, while they're in lockdowns or restricted behaviors. So again, high dividend stuff is of interest to us. There's an ETF. If you want to play a diversified across the board, higher dividend thing, this is a Vanguard. There's many of them out there. I'm just using this as an example. But, take a look at the 20-year graph and tell me if there's value here. This thing pays like 3.5% dividend, something like that. RSI now is above 50 at 53. That's a good thing. Market's above all the moving averages, which converged at around 83 to 84. So as long as we can kind of stay above this level, that would be nice. If you do break underneath 80 and then 75, something's occurred. Something negative has occurred. So when they say value trade, this is one of them, because these are companies with P/E ratios that are very reasonable in the 14 to 16 neighborhood generally, and they're paying dividends. Another value play here is I'll give you another one that you could find easier. This is S&P Value, another Vanguard ETF. There's many of them out there. I'm just showing you this as an example. But again, pays a nice dividend. These are S&P stocks that are considered value, and it looks like it's trying to go somewhere. And these things pay income, dividend. You're not going to get a dividend out of a lot of stocks that are growth, because that's not what they do. Don't forget on your growth stocks that... If interest rates rise, like the yields have been rising, you've got to change the valuations. Partly, valuations are about the level of interest rates. So obviously, if the level of interest rate changes, the valuation model changes. And that's what could be one of the headwinds for growth and tech looking forward. Also, if you took the value of stocks divided into the GDP, into the Wilshire 5000, the valuations are very high. Okay, so that gives you a little bit of an idea on that. Trying to think of this is one that we have been focused on in the weekly update for months since it was single digit. And this is Freeport MacMoran. Now it's on everybody's buy list. We had this thing going, 6 months ago. All right, so there you go. You know, this thing went down to $5 here and $5 there. Obviously, that's the number that you want to use. Got above 10 there and you got going. Shorter term basis, easier chart to look at. The 1 year, this gives you the buy signal much lower. And it gave you the buy signal in single digits, right? That's what we were talking about 6 months ago. Look at it going. You get in there, boom, blue line never gets tagged all the way up. You're still in. Could it pull back? Yes. But longer term, any pullback should be probably a buying situation, because this is an infrastructure play as well as a housing play, and a China building around the world of Africa play. And so it's a pretty good thing as far as we're concerned. That's Freeport MacMoran. Get you silver, gold, and copper. Not a bad trio to be involved in lately. Let's just see. Caterpillar, another cyclical. I think it did pretty good today. It was doing good. No, it came back a little bit. But you'll notice that it's, money's been coming in here in the last 6 months, coming in. Had a big drop, coming in. There you go. Buy against the line the whole way up, right? Buy against the line the whole way up. Another one, Honeywell. These are industrials. And Honeywell, Hong Kong. Gosh, hang on there. So like I say, there's a lot of indicators on the platforms. You can go crazy. If you're going to do short term, you look at different ones, 5 minute graphs, 30 minute graphs, all that kind of stuff. Shorten your time frame out. You can do that with these averages too, though. But a little bit overbought up here, but it's been trading off the line for a while. The moving averages are still rising, even if it gets penetrated for just a short time. As long as it gets back above the average, you're still okay. So remember, not only what the average is, but the direction of the average is very important. Would like to go over a little bit of other stocks that we're looking at here. And this is Ross Dress for Less and TJ Maxx. Cheapies. We were all over this. I'll show you like four of them that in the weekly update we showed you a long time ago. Okay. Once you got above 90, that was your signal. And from 90 all the way up to here, that's a nice bounce. So even if you're a short-term trader, was that a bad deal? Buy at 90, get out at 115. That'll work, right? And again, it's a re-entry into the economy, a reloading of the economy. Economy trade. Another one that did the same kind of thing, TJ Maxx. But I think all this stuff is telling you that in the short run here, 2 to 8 weeks, volatility could come back into play. And we saw it today a little bit. TG Maxx, it's the same thing. Once you got above the 54, you got to get in. Boom, up here. Now it's pulling back to fill the gap a little bit. Just stay above 56 and hang in there. That'll be good. And Ulta. Ulta Beauty. And there you go. Supposedly this is inexpensive beauty. I'm not much into this, but this is what they tell me. And again, same story. So there's three that are pulling back, but they may have made a turn and there could be a lot of upside ahead of it. So what you do is, if you think it's now a bull market, you don't buy strength. What do? You buy weakness in a bull market, because it's a sell strength, buy weakness, sell strength, buy weakness. You play the trend that way. Okay. On a down market, you sell strength, you sell strength and, against the rally. Here you're buying against the weakness because you've got the moving averages under the price. Another one that we caught here, TLT. TLT had a lot of support, 154, 155. We said this could be a place to take a bite out of this thing. And today it had a pretty good day. Look at that. So again, you see this 155, you know, that's very close to the area here of 154. Yeah, look at the low, 155 here. I think the low here, 154. So you're near the lows. If you want to take a bite out of something, you use that as a defensive spot. Here you had three times where it did not get underneath there, and now it's had a nice bounce back up. But the trend is still down. So again, this could be just a trade. Now, let me show you one of the biggest things that gave us insight that the market was going to go way up, and then also why it was going to have a rough time. And I'll show you right now. This is one of the best indicators this year. And it's the US dollar. Now, when we were up at, well, let's take a look at the longer term graph so you can put things in perspective. Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees, right? So let's go to 20 years out and see what's going on with the dollar index. Okay. So your dollar index went up here. And as you can see, this is what the divergence is all about. You see these high points here in 2015, 2016? Look at the RSI. The RSI at that first high point was 79. The next high point was 67. Now we just made a brand new high. Well, why is the RSI not at 67, but more like at 59? Why? Because it's diverging. And then we went way up here during the big crash, and look where the RSI was, way down here at 57. So you can have these divergences, and then once it got underneath here, which is, I think, I'll show you the shorter term graph on the 1 year, because once it broke 102, 104, that was our signal that the market on the dollar was rolling over. There you go. So you can see up here, we start breaking in April underneath 101, went to as high as 103, and you start seeing underneath there, rallied but couldn't last. So anything underneath 100 was sell time, right? Sell time. And if you want to look at, I'll show you three other markets during that period, and you see how it goes all the way down, and then it stops going down in when? August, September. That's the low. Then we had another low here in November recently, okay? Did not take out that low yet. That's why this 92 level is very important. And if we get above these lines here, which is 93 and a half area, it opens up a dollar rally, not a dollar slide. And like everything else, it's right on the ledge. RSI is right at 46. So if this thing starts coming down, you're going to see the dollar tank, not tank, but possibly start going down. That would be very helpful for stocks, gold, silver, and the euro. But if it gets above 50, because it breaks above these numbers of 94, and it was just trading here at 93 and change. So if it got up to this 93.50 and started to break out, and this RSI takes off, I don't think that would be very good for stocks. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about right here. This is the price of gold. And you can see from the price of gold here that it had this big run-up. But what did it do ever since the dollar bottom? Dollar bottomed right here. So what's gold been able to do since the dollar bottomed here in September? Not much. And then it had another low on the dollar recently, and the gold has come back down again. So gold 1850 is very important. If it breaks 1850, you got to figure the 1800 level is the next place. And if it breaks underneath that, let me show you the long-term graph so you understand where the real support is. And talk about a crowded trade. The whole world is in this stuff. So you can see going down to 1700 is not out of the question either. Okay. And on a really bad stuff, it could always go back to the breakout point. I wouldn't think that's happening. But 1700 on a breakdown. Now, of course, if you get back above 2000, then you know you're off to the races possibly again because you're taking out this area here. That would happen, I would imagine, if we take out 90, 92 on the dollar index. So, you know, you can't be fixed in one opinion. You have to go with the flow. Right now, the thing's consolidating, which makes a lot of sense because it went from 1200 up to this level. And obviously after that kind of a rally, but you got to hope it's not going to do one of these deals where it never gets above 1800 again. And then boom, right now, if it cannot get above 2000, that's not a good sign. The longer it's underneath 2000, I think the worse it is. But, you know, right now, all you can say is it's consolidating. But if the dollar index were to take off above 93, 94, 95, you'll get these lower levels, I think. Okay. The other one we talked about was S&P, which we already talked about. Let's just take a look at the graph one last time. And let's look what happened during the period we talked about. The one-year graph up there. Again, thing bottomed out in September, right? And look, the S&P had trouble. Then it had a little rally, but then we bottomed out in November, right? And so now it seems to be having a little bit more trouble. So we'll have to see. And the euro is another one. Seems like 120 is very difficult for it to get above. Yeah. You see, we got very bullish on this at 110. You can see why. Once we got above here, 118, 110, that was the green light to get involved with the euro. And we thought it would go to 120, which is why it did that. Which is what it did. Let me show you a five-year graph and see where we came up with 120. Okay. Yeah. We came up with 120 off of this area here. This high point here was 120, and this high point here was almost 120. And so this neighborhood here gave us an idea that 120 might be a difficult spot for it to get through. Right right now, 116, 120 is the trading range. If we break out of 120, obviously people are thinking 125, 126, it'll make a run for. But it's got to get above 120, and it hadn't been able to do that. And it still runs the risk of going down towards 111, 112, which is where these averages are now. So again, that gives you a little bit of an area on the euro. There's a lot to cover. And each week on the weekly newsletter, we cover the stock market, current events that might be affecting it, what we think the general direction of the markets are, what hedging strategies are to protect your money. And also we go over the bond market. So if you have fixed income and you'd like to know about that, we go over the international markets as the US dollar. We also go over gold, silver, copper, and crude oil. So we cover a lot of information and it's free of charge. So we give you the details on what we think, our opinion, our observations. Right now, all you need to do is go to optionprofessor.com, put in your email address, and you'll be put in the queue. So this Friday, when we have the letter come out, boom, you'll receive it in your email box, and you could read what our view is and get some of our opinions as well. We've been doing this for decades, so we feel pretty good that we bring value. And then the second thing is if you have questions on anything that I either talked about now or you own and you have questions about something in the market, more than happy to give you our opinion. Just go to optionprofessor@gmail.com, and then you'll be all set. Okay?